Have a guest joining us on the phone this morning. Erica DiArcangelo joins us from the Narconon Arrowhead Agency. Erica, good morning.
Good morning.
How's your life?
Very good, thanks.
Well, good. It's good to hear that. We're getting towards spring, so everybody should be feeling better and things should be looking up. And we're going to kind of talk a little bit about that, too, with regard to drug and alcohol abuse. You know, we sometimes talk about all the down periods and the problems and the family issues and the medical issues and things that come up. But we want to talk a little bit this morning about the road to recovery, which really, it's a difficult process, but it should be an uptime in someone's life after a tough time.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, getting on the road to recovery and getting into treatment, I always tell people that's the hardest step. The first step is the most difficult step. After that, there's going to be ups and downs. But once you make that decision, once you start recovery, that's a very big milestone.
Well, I assume that addiction's still a major problem?
It's a major problem. We spend about $468 billion a year on it every year in the United States, and we have about 50 million people who are either addicted to illicit drugs, prescriptions, or alcohol.
You know, it's a difficult problem, drug and alcohol addiction. We spend, as you say, so much money trying to work on recovery efforts and things. You know, it's difficult to hit it beforehand. I mean, we do a lot of education and things, but you know, sometimes it's just difficult. You can't have somebody there with everyone all the time ready to slap their hand to tell them you shouldn't be doing this.
Absolutely. And not only that, but we have so much money being spent on the negative consequences of addiction. We have money that's going to hospitals for people that overdose or get sick and have to go into the ER. We're having money spent for people who get arrested, who have other legal problems, domestic problems. I mean, safety in the neighborhood. There's just so many issues that are connected with it.
Absolutely. What are some of the trends right now?
Well, there's three major trends right now. The first trend is marijuana addiction. Right now, marijuana is the number one drug of abuse in the country, and it sends the most people to rehab every year. Prescriptions are another up-and-coming trend. About 16 million people misuse prescriptions every year. And then the third trend are these new synthetic drugs. They are drugs that mimic the effects of illicit drugs. There's two that are very, very major. And the first is marijuana. The second is methamphetamine. And the synthetic names for marijuana are K2 and Spice. And methamphetamine is a drug called bath salts.
Now, are these drugs that are working their way into all segments of the population, or are they just targeted towards, say, for example, young people?
Synthetic drugs are really targeting young people. A lot of young people are trying these drugs because they were legal at one time, they were sold in gas stations and convenience stores, and they think because they're synthetic or that they're labeled natural or herbal that they're safe, and they're actually more dangerous than the illicit drugs. Prescriptions are affecting everyone, from young kids, 11 years old, to older individuals. There's been a report with, you know, the baby boomer generation that a lot of baby boomers are getting addicted to prescription drugs.
Erica, I don't want to get into the politics of things, but, you know, recently we've seen where states like Colorado and Oregon have legalized a certain amount of marijuana usage amongst the population. And, you know, immediately things were popping up, little cafes where they don't serve coffee, they serve marijuana, you know, different types of things like that going on. Do you guys monitor some of those activities and things that go on just to kind of see and find out what might be ahead?
We don't monitor them, you know, all the time because there's so much happening. But what we've seen parallel with marijuana legalization, and this is initially the medical legalization of the drug, and then additionally some states with the recreational use of the drug, is an increase in use. Even with just legalizing it for medical use, you have these places called marijuana dispensaries that go up, and they sell marijuana out of these places. And the individuals that work there, they could be selling it illegally. There's a lot of crime also around these places. Someone could go in to get a prescription for it, come out, and be robbed. And a lot of marijuana dispensaries, actually all of them in L.A. County, were recently shut down because of all the problems that arose with these things in the area.
Well, it's a different challenge that we have because we're always somewhat vigilant when it comes to the different warning signs of someone who might be addicted. And if you've got some recreational usage and things out there that have been legalized, I assume it makes it a little bit tougher to maybe recognize if someone's actually abusing a drug that's not legal. How do you go about recognizing some of those early signs?
I mean, you're going to see definite signs that, you know, someone's abusing. The main thing that you're going to see is just a change. You're going to see a change in physical appearance, a change in personality. I use this example. You may have a teenager or a son or daughter who loves to spend time with their family, is interested in school activities, does well in school, gets good grades, is accountable. And that person may turn into someone who can't wake up in the morning, who doesn't come home at night, who is either argumentative or doesn't speak to the family, whose grades are dropping. And you can almost apply this example to any person, you know, changing out school for work, but relationships starts to deteriorate, physical appearance starts to change, sleeping habits, eating habits all change, and the person is really unable to handle responsibility. Everything in their life starts to go downhill because of drug use.
Yeah, but sometimes people just don't see those things. It's kind of the forest for the trees. You know, if I'm not a family member and I only say I see a youngster maybe a couple, three or four times in a year, I'm more likely sometimes to see the changes over time than someone who sees them every day. Is that really much of an excuse?
I mean, it can be used as one, but not necessarily. I mean, the other thing, too, as far as changes physical appearance, a lot of individuals that we see come in, and a lot of families we talk to say, you know, the person will go from, you know, being maybe more clean-cut to wearing shirts or having different hairstyles, but doing things that support the drug culture. They may post things on their social media. It's just you can see a very clear support of a drug culture in the individual.
Boy, I suppose all the social media outlets have probably changed how people are sometimes aware of what's going on in other folks' lives, including with drug and alcohol issues.
Absolutely. You know, on one hand, it's very good because it puts a lot of things out in the open. On the other hand, it can be tough because, for example, if you have someone at school and they're posting stuff on the internet that, you know, to legalize marijuana or pictures of, you know, partying, this may seem good to other people and it may promote it. On the other hand, there's a lot of resources out there that give you the real information on drugs and addiction.
Yeah, society in general isn't really helping your cause all the time. You know, we see the drug and alcohol usage glorified in movies and television shows and in people's everyday lives with social media. There's so much kind of a flip attitude sometimes about those issues that sometimes it's hard to get people to really hunker down and understand the seriousness and the damage it can do to you and those around you.
Absolutely, and it definitely is promoted, and sometimes kids will get the wrong idea of what drug and alcohol use is. And I always tell people, families who talk to their kids about drugs, those kids are 40% less likely to ever use drugs. So you want to make sure that you have drug education and prevention talks in your home with your kids when they're in school so that their first introduction to drugs isn't seeing someone using it or something on Facebook and then thinking that it's glamorous or not harmful or that they should do it.
Yeah, or the attitudes that you hear sometimes where, oh, it's just beer. Oh, it's just marijuana. It's not that big a deal. Well, those are all ways to get started.
Sure.
Yeah. What do you do if you see those types of things happen? What's the first step? What's the first thing someone should do if they suspect a problem?
Well, what you want to do first thing is learn as much as you can, as quickly as you can about drugs and addiction, and sit down with the person, let them know that you love them and you care about them, but that you know that there's a problem and you want them to get some help, and you want to try to get them in contact with a counselor or to go into a program.
Is it difficult, though, for parents, for example, who may have a teenage child who they've noticed a change and they want to sit down and do that? Because part of you wants to be angry with them.
Oh, sure. I mean, a lot of part wants to be angry or sad or disappointed or blame them or blame yourself. But you have to kind of put all that aside and look at what is the solution. Yelling at your kid, telling your kid that they're bad and they're never going to amount to anything and they're drug addicts, that's not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to make you feel better. It's not going to get them to want help, and it's actually not going to get them to want to talk to you or want to let you help them.
Step back a little bit, take a deep breath, look at the issues, and realize what's going to best help me get to the end game.
Exactly.
And if they need to take that step, and sometimes they need help, it's very difficult to break that chain of addiction by yourself. You need some help. If folks need more of that, how do they find out more?
Well, they can call us toll-free at 1-800-468-6933. They can log on to stopaddiction.com, or they can go to facebook.com/Narcan on Arrowhead.
Very good. Easy to find, both on the phone and online, and no commitments. Yeah, just because you made the call, you're not suddenly on someone's mailing list. You're not suddenly going to get referral calls and what have you. It's only if you choose to take the next step, correct?
Absolutely.
All right. Very good. It's nice to have those resources out there. Erica, thanks a lot for your time here this morning, and best of luck to you.
Thank you.